Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 24. The title of the sermon this morning is part one of Praying at All Times. Praying at All Times. I appreciate some of you asking me this morning, how are you today? You don't act right. I appreciate your being so attentive. I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning with food poisoning and have not been back to sleep. And the only reason I'm here is because I'm drugged up. I'm drugged up with everything in anything you can imagine to keep the nausea and everything at bay. But the Lord, unless I'm dead, and I could be, I'll be here at 5 o'clock. I promise you, I was here at 8 o'clock this morning. So, Lordy, I know if I can be here at 5, I know you can. Praying at all times. Thank you for asking about me and praying for me. Pray for me now so that I can preach. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 18. Let's read together. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. I'm really after this morning that which we see in verse 18, praying always. Just that short phrase, praying always. And that's why I entitled the sermon, Praying at All Times. One of the great hymns of the church contains this phrase, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. How many of you have heard that hymn? Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. In fact, prayer is the closing anthem of the letter to the church at Ephesus. I hasten to say that prayer, and we need to understand this, prayer is not listed as a piece of the armor. And there's a reason for it. The reason prayer is not listed as a piece of the armor of God, the reason for that is because prayer is so much more than that. The point is, while as soldiers of Christ, we are fighting in the belt of truth, we're fighting wearing the breastplate of righteousness. We're fighting wearing the shoes of the good news. We're fighting holding the shield of faith. And we're fighting wearing the helmet of salvation. And we're fighting wielding the sword of the Spirit. We are to be in prayer. In fact, we could word it this way. Prayer is the spiritual air that the soldier of Christ breathes. Without prayer, there's no breathing. And without breathing, there's no life. Prayer is the spiritual air which the believer, the soldier of Christ, breathes. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus urged His disciples to pray always without losing heart. And I can assure you, if they needed it, I need it. If those original disciples needed to always be in a spirit of prayer and not lose heart in praying, I can assure you if they needed that instruction, if they needed to always be in a spirit of prayer and not lose heart, I can assure you I always need to be in a spirit of prayer so that I don't lose heart. It's an awful thing to lose heart. It's a devastating thing to lose heart. I don't know of much worse. I don't know of anything that hurts the soul any worse than losing heart, losing confidence, losing hope. It's tragic. If they needed it, we need it. Combat soldiers, if they need anything emotionally, and I learned this as a chaplain, counseling soldiers who were back from theater, who had had to do some awful things and had witnessed some terrible things and whose emotions were wounded. If there's anything that a combat soldier needs emotionally, it is the courage to fight. It is the belief that their cause is just, and the encouragement that victory is attainable. You take any of those elements away from a soldier, and you've got a soldier who will lose heart. The courage to fight, they must have it. They must know that their cause is right, is just. And they must know that victory is attainable. Jesus knows that when the battle drags on, when the battle is difficult, He knows His soldiers get tired too. He knows His soldiers become weak. He knows His soldiers can become easily discouraged. If battle is emotionally and physically difficult in the natural realm, in the physical realm, oh, and it is, how much more is it in the spiritual realm? And I think we underestimate that. Through this entire series of sermons on the armor of God, I have said a number of times, I think one of the things that we as believers have been guilty of is underestimating the severity of the spiritual battles that we are in every single day of our lives. We are too focused on the here and now, what we can see and smell and taste and touch and with our senses. But there's a battle raging around us. It's spiritual in nature. And our enemy is devious. And he's dangerous. He is the enemy of our souls. He wants nothing more than to bring shame on the name of Jesus Christ, and He's all too happy to use me to do it. So if battle is emotionally and physically difficult in this natural realm, how much more difficult is it really in the spiritual realm? And so when Paul admonishes us to pray at all times, pray at all times. This is not to be viewed lightly. In fact, the need to pray is the climatic truth of the entire letter to the church of the Ephesians. Did you hear that? The need to pray is the climatic truth of everything that Paul wrote and taught us in Ephesians. It's the climatic truth. It's the crescendo on the letter. And that can only be because prayer is that critical to the Christian life. I want us to consider for a few moments the magnificence of what it is Paul taught us under inspiration of God in this letter to the church at Ephesus. Let's consider the truths that are applicable to every believer in this room. If you know that 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 you believe in the person of Jesus Christ, you know that He loves you and He saved you from an eternity without Him. If you know that, you are His and He is yours. Listen to these words. Listen to what Paul writes under inspiration of God about you. About us. I can't help but think of this afternoon. There's been a many a week. There's been a many a month. I have stood behind the pulpit and preached my heart out and not seen a single person walk the aisle. At times it's been months on end. And I wonder, what's wrong with me? Am I not studying hard enough? Am I not preparing well enough? Am I not praying enough? What am I not doing? And yet here we are. I mean, I can't enter names in the computer database fast enough. People joining the church like chicklets falling off the line. The assembly line. People coming forward to profess faith in Christ. In fact, we got two coming today to profess faith in Christ when I get through preaching. Two more. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, I don't take this for granted because I know that this is a work of God. And He can give the blessing and He can withhold the blessing. My question is, are we grateful? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's how the letter to the Ephesians starts out. That's good. Every spiritual blessing I need is already mine. In Christ. We are the chosen, predestined, adopted children of God. We are lavished with His grace. We have been redeemed and forgiven. We have been given the mystery of His will. We are receivers of an inheritance that will not fade away. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are greatly loved by God. We've been made alive with new life. We are the workmanship of Christ Himself, created by Him to do good works. We have been given God's own peace in our hearts. We've been made one with Christ and with every other believer. We've been made citizens of God's kingdom and members of His family. We're being built into God's own temple. We are the dwelling place for the Spirit of God. We've been given boldness and confident access to God. We have been made powerful beyond our imagination. We are so much more than we ever dared imagine. We have been given unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are blessed with leaders to equip us in the work of ministry. We are taught by Jesus Himself. We've been given a new self in the likeness of God. We've been made light. We've been offered the fullness of God, the Holy Spirit. We've been given the instructions and resources to make our relationship with others what God intends them to be. And we have been given the full armor of God so that we can defeat Satan and his demonic forces. What else do we need? That's what Ephesians teaches you and me about who we are and what we've received. In light of these divine blessings, Paul realizes that there is a great danger for believers. And that grave danger is that they give in to temptation. The temptation to spiritual arrogance, self-satisfaction. You know, Paul didn't warn the church for no reason in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. I'm going to tell you something. The minute you think you're standing on your own two feet and that things are going absolutely wonderful for you with God and you let that guard down, is the moment your feet's going to be knocked out from under you. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. This warning applies to us too. Think of the privileges we have. Think of the list of things that I just covered. That Paul, in his letter to the Ephesian church, tells us, this is who you are. This is what you've been given. This is what is at your disposal. This is who you are in Christ. Think of the great privilege of being a child of God. But oh, how easily we can lose our dependence on God. When everything is well, when all we are seeing is blessing and victory, it is so easy to drift from depending upon God's grace to presuming upon that grace. Do you know the difference between depending on God's grace and presuming on God's grace? The psalmist prayed, O Lord, keep your servant from presumptuous sin. It is one of the most awful sins. There is a fine line between depending upon the grace of God and presuming upon the grace of God. Depending upon the grace of God means that I stand in this pulpit and I know that I am absolutely nothing. I am just a flawed man. I've been called by God. He specifically called me. He's gifted me to teach and preach His Word. But I know that there's no power in me. I know that God does not need me. God can raise up 20 more, much more eloquent, much more powerful than me. I know that if any good is going to be accomplished for the glory of God and for your life, it's going to be because God blesses by His grace through His Spirit. That's depending on God. Presuming upon God's grace is me getting a little self-sat. Well, you know, we done had 28 people come to the front of the church in the last 8 weeks. Now, praise be to God. And I do praise God for that. Because I've seen seasons when they didn't nobody come up here. I couldn't drag you up here to even kneel and pray with a log chain. Afraid somebody might see you. You know I'm preaching to somebody. Well, 28 people's come to the front of the church in the last 8 weeks. Aren't we blessed? And I just know that I know that I know God's going to do it again this Sunday. Well, really, how did you know that? Did He tell you specifically? Well, I just know He's going to do it. How you know it? That's presuming upon God's grace. It's the feeling that we've arrived, but bless us, Lord. That's the arrogance. That's the spiritual arrogance. That's the presuming upon God's grace. It is easy to become satisfied with physical blessings, so much so that we have little desire for spiritual blessings. It's easy to become dependent upon our physical resources to the extent that we feel little need for spiritual resources. You know, we are in a blessed spot right here. We're on 17.4 acres with no debt. We're in a building right here with no debt. We've got a house over there for the children, no debt. A house over here for the youth, no debt. A van, no debt. A commercial lawnmower, no debt. We don't have no debt. So we've arrived, haven't we? We don't need nothing. Yeah, we're in debt to Christ. The minute we think, well, I don't have to give as much to the Lord now that the church ain't got no mortgage payment. Well, I'll tell you what, if that's how you feel, let me know and I'll pray the Lord decreases your income so that your giving matches your income level again. It ain't got nothing to do with whether or not the church has got debt. We got work to do for Jesus. Amen. Most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. We need Jesus a whole lot more than we need debt freeness. We need spiritual resources as much as we need physical resources. We need spiritual resources infinitely more. It's tempting to spend so much time counting our blessings that we just stop asking for blessing. You know what I mean? Huh? Let me count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. There's truth to that. That's one of the old hymns. But don't sit around and count your blessings 20 times a day. You better be praying for more of them. You can't rest on your laurels. I can't rest on my laurels. We can't rest on our laurels. The point I'm trying to make this morning is this. We must never confuse human success with divine blessing, for it is the Lord who builds the house. There's nothing wrong with ministries. There's nothing wrong with programs. There's nothing wrong with methods. The Lord knows I have seen Him use them in mighty ways. He can use those things to bring about wonderful divine blessings in the life of the church. But I do know this. None of those things, no program, no method, no ministry, none of those minus God's divine blessing will succeed. I don't care how smart we are, how well we plan, how well we structure ourselves. None of that matters if God's blessing is not added to it. Amen? Pray always. If we've ever needed to be a praying people, I'll guarantee it's right now. If we have been in danger of becoming smug, a little indifferent, a little lethargic, a little lackadaisical spiritually. And we do tend to do that when things are going really good. That is a great temptation for us. You know what all of that spells? And I'm not going to belabor this point. You know what all of that spells? Here's what it spells. It spells taking God for granted. I mean, at the bottom, when you boil it all down and you sift it, you sift all the trash away from it, and you've got just really what's left. That's really what it is at the end of the day. It's taking God for granted. As if God owes me something. As if God owes me blessing. God doesn't owe me blessing. God doesn't owe you blessing. God doesn't owe you and I anything. His blessing is a gift of His grace. So let me begin to wrap this up now and ask the question, when does all of this stuff happen to a people? When do all of these danger signs really start presenting themselves and you see the spiritual energy of the church dissipate? And you see wrong hearts and wrong attitudes and smugness and self-satisfaction and all of these things, this presuming upon God's grace as if God owes us favor. When does this begin to happen to a people? Here is the answer. The very moment that a passionate longing for God wanes. The very moment I cease to be passionate for God is the very moment that I will go down in defeat. And by the way, it is a true sign that I have not been praying always. The only way you or I can lose a passionate longing for God, the only way you or I could walk through these doors this morning minus a passionate longing for God and for God to move, the only way that is possible is if we did not pray today. If we have not been faithful to pray this past week, I can assure you, if that describes you, if you have not been faithful to pray this past week, I can assure you, you did not walk through these doors expecting great things from God. You did not walk through these doors with a passionate longing for God's Word. As songs of praise were sung, you were trying to muster up a little bit of joy. Let me tell you, this is a spiritual war. And prayer is the very spiritual air that the soldier of Christ breathes. And you take our air away from us, and we die. You take prayer away from us, and we're done. We're done. We're defeated. So I close with these words. Ephesians begins by lifting us up to the heavens. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. It opens by soaring us into heaven, into the heavenlies with Christ. But the book of Ephesians ends by pulling us down to our knees. It's as if God is saying to us, don't you think that because you have all these blessings and resources that you can continue to prosper without me? Don't you think, child of God, that my armor is mechanical? That you can simply take hold of it on your own and that you can expect that it will automatically produce supernatural results? Indeed, the gift without the giver is bare. Did you hear that? The gift without the giver is bare. The gift without the giver is bare. It's barren. Empty. So let us be faithful to pray. To pray. To pray. Out of a keen sense of complete dependence upon the One who has provided the armor and poured out His Spirit upon us. You know, it looks like, it just seems like something that I have to keep learning over and over again. I'll be the first to admit it's ridiculous. But tell me if this is what I'm about to say to you. Do you too have to keep learning this all over again, like me? Here it is. We're never stronger than when we're on our knees. And we're never weaker than when we're not. Am I the only one in this room who has to learn that over and over again? Sadly, we're never stronger than when we're on our knees. We're never weaker than when we're not. Pray always. It's the air that we breathe. May God bless the teaching of His Word.